Hello and welcome to Cavagancers Live, possibly in for the best Wednesday show we've ever done. This could possibly be the best Wednesday show we've ever done. I don't know. Second hour, Father Tad Boholchik will be here with us. We're going to talk about bioethics. You know how it goes with Father Tad. He's a scientist. He's a priest. And if you have questions about bioethics, he is the guy to ask. He works over at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. This hour, man, we haven't seen her in a long time. She's a scientist. She's a theologian. Dr. Stacy Drasenko, scientist and theologian. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, Cy. It's very good to be back here with you again.
It is indeed. The last time I spoke with you, I was on your podcast with Bishop Strickland, and thank you for inviting me. I really had a good time.
No, thank you for doing that, and thank you for writing your book. It was fun to be interviewing you for a change. And I love hearing what you have to say. I could listen to you talk all day long.
Well, that's very kind to say. I definitely got the sense doing conversations about that book that it's way easier to be the interviewer than the interviewee. It's way, way easier. So I'm in that role now. So, we're going to talk about faith and science. When Dr. Stacy is here, you can ask any question at all about faith and science. She's a PhD in chemistry and also a theologian. And her science didn't lead her away from God, but to God. Is that fair enough to say that?
Yes, I always say chemistry led me to God. Someone said, "Why do you have faith in Jesus Christ?" And I said, "Because of atoms, ATOMS." It really was a fascination with the order and beauty and superhuman logic in the universe that forced me to admit there was a greater chemist than any human could be.
Yeah. One of Stacy's books is Particles of Faith. It's a Catholic guide to navigating science, also now available in the student edition. So you might want to look into that for your student or students. Our number is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about the conflict or the so-called conflict between faith and science, you're welcome to call. If you are not a believer at all, maybe look at science as canceling God or removing the need for God, and you'd like to talk about that, we love those conversations. Make it as hard as you can because Stacy has to answer them. 888-318-7884. I don't have to answer them. 888-318-7884, the number. It feels to me like people like yourself, with your book, Particles of Faith, and all the speaking that you've done, have actually made a difference over the last 10 or so years in that it feels like fewer people are dedicated or committed to the idea that there's a conflict between faith and science than there were, say, in the early 2000s or 2010.
You are absolutely right, and it's so good to hear you say that because I know you pay attention to these things in culture. It is changing. Like, you know, I think Catholics finally said, science was born of Christianity, and we're taking it back and stop this nonsense with this, you know, we just blew the cobwebs off of that tired old myth. We just said, enough already. We're not going to keep being on the defensive, trying to say, oh, yes, it's okay if you have faith and you also love science. Just stop all that nonsense and say, look, science is the study of the handiwork of God. The end. There's no conflict there. We're studying what our Creator created, period.
Again, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. It even seems like the opponents of faith who turned to science were well organized in the 1990s. They really started, and it took a while for Catholics to get organized. But there's even this thing. I don't know if I think you're a member of it. The Society of Catholic Scientists. You're a member of that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And it just seems like we're getting organized. And I feel like this is a good news story that we should share because we're always like, oh, so many people have given up on religion and whatnot. When we make the case for it, it actually makes a difference. People respond.
Yeah, I mean, science, modern science, like what we know about the atom and quantum mechanics and biology and evolution and chemistry, the periodic table, all of those things, they ought to be our strongest evangelization tool of today. Like, there is no better way to look at the world and say, look, the more we learn about science, the more we're amazed by it, the more we are compelled to admit what what Saint Paul was saying in the Bible and what the early Christians said, is that the order and the nature is evidence of the existence of God. And the more we learn about science, the more we have to be able to say that. We're not like the early Christians who didn't even have a self-sustaining discipline called modern science. They didn't have cell phones and, you know, Honda Accords. They just looked at nature, but that was enough for them to be convinced there's evidence of God. All the more so today. We should be saying.
Right, indeed, 888-318-7884. I think statistically most Christians today still don't have Honda Accords. I'm just throwing that. I hate to throw statistics out at you, but.
My next car is going to be a Ford Mustang.
Oh, all right. You need a car that can get you around Texas. One thing I didn't mention about Dr. Stacy Trusanko, scientist and theologian, is she's also the executive director of Bishop Joseph Strickland's St. Philip Institute of Catechesis and Evangelization down there in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Again, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're talking about faith and science, whether you come at it from a nope, I don't have faith, and I believe that science contradicts faith, or help me out to understand how these go together, you're welcome to call. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, Catholic or not a Catholic, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I do feel like, however, that as much as there's so much good news in the way that, as I said, people like yourself, people like Dr. Stephen Barr, who started the Society of Catholic Scientists, and many other Catholics who finally got into the conversation, the public conversation about faith and science, so that it's not just a conversation between a few fundamentalist Christians and a few atheists, but that people of a broader perspective got into the conversation. There are still a lot of, let me put it this way. I guess middle schoolers or high schoolers who are constantly seeing the memes and whatnot, and we're just not very good at memes. We're definitely not as good as the atheists. They're better at memes. How do we reach young people to make sure we don't lose them before, to lose to a meme, a person who really we didn't need to lose?
Yeah, you know what? I have concluded after talking about this for so long. I mean, first of all, if you can get to a high school or a college science class, you can say, look, science is the study of the handiwork of God, and you can inspire those young Catholics to remain true to their faith when they get to the laboratory. But when it comes to other young people who are like the nuns, I don't know if even you can talk to them about science and you can say, isn't that evidence of a creator? But I think what's really fundamentally the problem with them is we just don't teach our kids how to think anymore. They just too easily put those hard questions up on the shelf and don't want to talk about it because they have so many other things with the internet and the global communication to worry about.
Yeah.
It's hard to get them to think about it. So you can start talking to them about science, but you're first going to have to get them past that hurdle of even wanting to think critically about the question of God. That's what I find.
There's just one line open left to talk to Dr. Stacy Trusanko, scientist and theologian. 888-318-7884 is the number. Let's head up to Seattle, Washington. Patrick, listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app, you're first up. Go ahead with your question or comment for Dr. Stacy.
Yes, hello, doctor. The question that I had was, the German Catholic Church right now is objecting to the Vatican's direction on blessing same-sex unions, and they point to various scientific studies about psychology and biology, the fact that, you know, a certain percentage of the population is born with a natural inclination towards the same sex. And psychologically working against that is ultimately harmful. That's their position. I'm not advocating for that personally, but I was wondering what your response to that would be.
I was actually on the show a couple of years ago, Cy. Remember when I came to California and I was in person on the show? And we were talking about in that show a new study that came out about the gay gene. there was this big study done to assess whether or not there actually was a genetic contribution to a person being born with homosexual tendencies or not. And they were unable to find a gay gene. They were unable to correlate people that they interviewed, their experience of ever desiring to have sex with the same gender with a person's genetic makeup. There was no correlation. Instead of concluding that there is no connection between genetics and the vast majority of people who say they're gay actually being born that way, instead of concluding that there is no connection, they went the other way and they said, well, the connection is there, it's just too complex for us to be able to study right now. So they furthered that narrative that most of those people with those tendencies are born that way. And you know, I want to leave open the possibility that some people may actually have those struggles and they can't help it. I do think there are people that are that way. I just don't think the majority of people who come out now saying, you know, today I'm gender nonconforming, tomorrow I'm a boy, the next day I'm a girl. It happens. I have four teenage daughters. It's everywhere. I don't think there's anything to that. There is nothing biological about that. It is certainly seems like some orchestrated effort to just confuse our young people into losing their own identity.
We'll tell you what we'll do, Patrick. We'll put in the show notes a link to that earlier show we did on the gay gene. Thanks very much for the question. We're doing Science and Faith this hour with Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian. Your calls welcome, 888-318-7884. Right back after this.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and that means a new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, has dropped. You can check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics, now available every Wednesday at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for July is A Church in Crisis. The church is under attack from within and from without. Through the chaos, Dr. Ralph Martin illuminates the path forward for a church in crisis. Order your DVD set at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. For some reason, it feels like forever since we've had Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian, on. But that's how it goes sometimes. But we're just delighted to have her back with us. And we're just doing a general faith and science program today, not on a specific science or faith question. If you have a question about anything that has to do with the conjunction of faith and science or the disjunction of the two, if you prefer that, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. One thing I forgot to mention, there's a 20 answers sale on right now. So I want to mention that before I go back to the callers. If you get 50% off on any 20 answer book you buy right now at shop.catholic.com, just head over there. You'll see the 50% off. And they're very inexpensive books anyways. I know that we've tried to make them as cheap as we can make them. I think they're $2 or $3 each. And you're going to get 50% off right now at shop.catholic.com. Have you ever written any of the 20 answers books, Stacy? I think you did one on bioethics, didn't you?
Yeah, I did the bioethics one.
Yeah, so see, we got world-class authors over there in those 20 answers books. Right now we go to Rochester, New York. Michael, listening on the Station of the Cross, you are up next. Michael, go ahead with your question for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Well, I'm a math teacher at a small Christian Catholic school here in Rochester, New York. And I was wondering if some of the anomalies or some of the statistics in mathematics that shows the universe as we know it could not have been created by chance.
Oh, that you could teach. Something dropped out just a little bit there, Michael, but you're asking Stacy about teaching about the science and the statistics having to do with like the impossibility of all of this being as it is just by chance.
Exactly.
Okay, Dr. Stacy?
Yeah, that's a good question relating to evolution, I think, is where it gets asked the most often. But really anything, you have to define your terms and what you're talking about with chance. I mean, it is, if I said, what are the chances that I'm on the show today right now? The chances of me sitting here right now are contingent on a lot of events that happened before leading up to this. Like I wrote a book, so I heard about the book, I got to know the people at Catholic Answers. So you could say that a few months ago, the chances of me being asked to be on the show are pretty great. But it was contingent on a lot of other things happening leading up to that. And there's a lot of situations in evolution where that's the same kind of thing happening. And if you don't just look at one thing and what are the chances of that one thing happening, but you look at the whole picture, what are the chances of all the diversity of life evolving to be what it is today? It certainly seems like there's a guiding hand in the whole thing. Like, I don't like to just take one single thing and say that right there, that bacteria flagellum or that dandelion is evidence of God. I think when you look at the totality of it, I mean, when you look at the totality of the periodic table even, the chances of all this happening since the beginning of time, even since the Planck era and all of that stuff that happened in the Big Bang and the evolution of the universe and the creation of our solar system and the emergence, you know, the formation of planet Earth and then the emergence of life on this planet, all the way up to me and Cy being on Catholic Answers Live right now. I mean, it's all being guided. There is divine providence at work. And, you know, I'm talking to a lot of scholars right now on a proposal to rewrite scientific curricula for physics, biology, and chemistry in a teleological fashion, in a way where we just all admit there's purpose and design everywhere and just start talking about science that way because it makes a lot more sense.
That's a wonderful idea. What do you think, Michael?
I like the conclusion because one way to teach is to try to spike or spark or enhance the curiosity of your students. So if you could say, for instance, can anybody show me in mathematics some evidences of design and creation and then get the kids to look for their own facts? That's better than me presenting facts and saying these are evidence of creation. I mean, the one that's what I think. What does the doctor think?
I think that's a great way to get kids thinking about it. Like what? I mean, but you can say that about anything. You can say that about your heart. Like, what is the chance that your heart's going to beat one more time? So a whole lot of things have to happen just for that. I mean, but I agree with you totally. I'm just trying to give you like even more. Nothing inspires high school kids to learn and love their subject more than the teacher having passion about it, which I'm sure you do, and being told that it all fits together and it all makes sense. So many kids get out of high school, and they don't like math, they don't like chemistry, because they just don't see why they need to know that.
Right.
And when you tell them, you need to know that because chemistry is happening in your body right now. It's how you're staying alive, and God's the creator of all of that. They can look at anything in science, and they can apply statistics, they can think about chance and randomness, they can be in awe and be amazed at anything you find to talk about in science. Whether you're talking about sugar molecules, or you're talking about photosynthesis, or you're talking about projectile motion, I've seen it happen. It inspires an awe and wonder in all of them if you just tell them that science is the study of God's creation.
It's interesting that Michael is asking the question about teaching about God using science, but you get around to saying you're actually you do a better job of teaching science too if you teach about God. That both these things are complementary.
Yeah, because if you tell a kid you have to learn chemistry just so you can get an A and graduate and go to college, they'll hate chemistry.
Right, right, yeah. But if they're studying, as you like to say, and I have heard you say this a few times, if you're studying the handiwork of God, then all of a sudden there's a great purpose to this, and you're decoding something that is created and has meaning, then science itself is more meaningful to the student then.
You're studying the mind of God. You're seeing how God put things together. And if you go on, and this has worked many times. I have ex-students who contact me who went on to become scientists. If you go on to study and you become a PhD scientist, if you become a PhD anything, you have to contribute new knowledge to your field. And so if you earn a PhD in chemistry or biology or some scientific field, you literally understand more about God than anybody else ever has. And that's pretty dang exciting to think that you're going to get a PhD because you're going to learn something about science that nobody's ever learned before. You're going to contribute new knowledge. That means you're understanding God's handiwork better. And, you know, I've had young women say, what if I want to get married and have a family? Should I go ahead? I don't know how to make that stop. What if I want to get married and have a family? And, but I also want to get a PhD. Am I throwing away my education? And I tell them, you're not throwing away your education because of what I just said. You did something. I did that. I worked for DuPont for 5 years. And then I left when I read the catechism. It said children are not highly complex composite systems of atoms and molecules. They're gifts. Gifts. When I read that, I quit my job at DuPont. I stayed home for 15 years with my children, and now I'm back at work for a bishop. So, you never go, just go all in for God. Just learn all you can about God in life, and you'll be okay.
Michael, thank you so much, and God bless you in your teaching efforts. Thank you so much for the call. Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian, is our guest. She's the author of Particles of Faith and Particles of Faith, the student edition. And if you've got a student, check it out. Let's go now to South Carolina, Charles in South Carolina, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Charles, go ahead with your question or comment for Dr. Trusenko.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was intrigued because you were mentioning evolution, and I recall talking with a colleague of mine a few years ago that proudly was claiming, you know, I used to be a Catholic, but I'm not anymore. And so we started in a course of conversation talking about different things with faith and science and this and that. The topic of evolution came up, and he quickly challenged me to say, wait a minute, Charles, are you an old Earth or a new Earth guy? And I looked at him with a deer in headlights look, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, if you're old Earth, you know, how many billions of years is the Earth, and what could have happened? If you're a new Earth guy, then you're literally looking at kind of what the church would teach. And I said, well, I'm not sure it's that black and white, but I've always been confused by that. And so now I've got a real life PhD scientist here to give me an opinion, and I'd love to hear what it is, ma'am. Thank you.
So I'm clear. Are you clear on the question, Stacy? I don't think I knew what is it about whether the Earth is old or young.
It was my understanding that there's two competing theories. Is the Earth really old, or is the Earth relatively young?
Gotcha.
And how would that factor into the evolutionary process and how the church explains this?
Okay, Charles. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is a great question, Charles, and you did put your finger on the crux of the question. I mean, first of all, the church does not say that we have to believe or accept or think it's true a young Earth. That's not Catholic teaching. Catholic teaching says the truth cannot contradict the truth, and we should seek the truth in science. I've looked at the scientific evidence that is put forth to claim the Earth is very young. And if those ideas are true, then everything we know about the atom is not true. And if we don't know what we think we know about the atom, your mobile phone wouldn't work. So, I mean, I, I think the better answer is that we do understand the atom pretty well. We still don't understand a lot. And that based on our dating methods, which are based on what atoms do in radioactive decay, there is no way that you can say the Earth is young. So the Earth is almost certainly older than what young Earth creationists think it is. Next, the Earth is as old as it is. I mean, things happened before we came along that happened regardless of what we think about it. Our job as humble scientists and humble Catholics is to dig around and try to figure out what happened.
Stacey, I gotta ask you to hang on. Can we finish it on the other side? Okay,
sure.
Thank you very much. Charles, I hope you can hang on because the music means I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to finish with Dr. Stacey's answer about whether the Earth is old or young right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
When God looks at you, what does he see?
Reflect on that question, then call us tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live with possibly the best Wednesday show we've ever done. Second hour priest and PhD in neuroscience, Father Tad Boholchik, will be with us. And we'll just do bioethics questions. If you've got a question about life at its earliest stages, latest stages, or anywhere in between, and about what the proper treatment of human life is, you are welcome to call second hour. This hour, just a general conversation about faith and science, which is always fun to do with Dr. Stacey Trusenko, scientist and theologian, who is also the executive director of the St. Philip Institute of Catechesis and Evangelization in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, the author of Particles of Faith. When we had to go to the break, we had Charles on the line asking about, as a Catholic, what must one believe? Is the Earth old, about 14 billion years old almost, or is it a young Earth? And you were in the midst of your answer, Dr. Trusenkos.
Yes. It's old. It's older for sure than young Earth creationists would say. And I was talking about atoms, but so I hope I answered your question, but I just want to say something that's beyond that. if we approach evolution like we're studying God's handiwork, we don't have to get too upset about any of those theories, young earth, old earth. We simply just say, you know, my faith is not dependent on which scientific theory I accept. We say that we are Catholics and we thirst for the truth, and we want to know the truth, because it doesn't do our faith any good to believe something in science that's not true, to look for things that aren't true. So you really, I mean, that was kind of where the faith and science myth started. We don't need to worry about which scientific theory is going to make our faith make sense. Doesn't matter. If you're studying God's handiwork, scientific theories are just explanations about what we find in nature as we try to put it all together and understand creation. So it liberates you as a Catholic to say, and Christian, we're all united as Christians on this. It liberates you to be able to look at what science is discovering, look at what scientists, mere humans, are theorizing, and just say, okay, I hear what you're saying. Let me see the data. Let me hear your theory. Let me understand. And you know, you may get to the last day of your life, and you'll get to the last day of your life, and you still won't know everything. You still won't know exactly how old the earth is. So enjoy science, dive into it, learn all that you can, and refuse to have a conversation where your faith is somehow dependent on which theory you accept. Say, I accept any theory that makes good sense.
So Charles, it sounds like the Adams insist that the universe is old. What do you think?
I can live with that. I like it a lot. Okay. So I will not be confused by a different argument. Thanks. I appreciate the answer.
Thank you very, very much. But I got to say, though, you know, you're an apologist for science as much, not as much, but in addition to being an apologist for religion. But I have a complaint about you scientists, and I want you to address this. Often I will hear, like, we did this experiment, and it proves that there's no such thing as free will. Or we did this experiment, and it proves that. And I often think, okay, it's either the scientists or it's science journalists who are doing it. I'm not sure. But a lot of times, the spiritual or the debunking claims of science are exaggerated. Nobody has proved that there's no free will, and they should stop saying it.
Exactly. It's sloppy thinking. I mean, if you have no free will, and I mean, it's funny that atheists used to call themselves free thinkers, because you can't really think freely if you have no will to decide what you're going to think. So like y'all are not even making sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you don't, but they are forced into scientists who, so I used to be one. I can speak here with some experience. If you're a scientist who doesn't accept the existence of anything spiritual, like to you, everything is atoms and molecules and matter and energy, and everything has a physical explanation, you are compelled by your own blinders to say there's no free will. Because the only reason your brain is thinking the thoughts it's thinking is because of the atoms and molecules doing their thing. And you can even get deterministic about it and say they're doing what they're supposed to do right now. And it's just a series of events since the beginning of time. Like if Cy got up to go get a taco right now, we would say he was born to do that. And so it's a very strict deterministic view of things, because they won't take the blinders off and accept there's a fuller reality. And I lived that way for a decade of my adult life, and it wrecks your relationships. Because if you think the human person is just atoms and molecules and has no free will, it makes you a terrible mother and wife yeah. and friend and sister, because you're a control freak. You know, that's where it comes from. And I think it's enough to just refute it by saying, well, if you think there's only atoms and molecules, that doesn't even make sense. You're not thinking freely. You're going to stand right where you are and scratch your head the rest of your life. I accept there's a fuller reality that God created. There's spiritual realm, angels. The human is body and soul. God exists. There's an eternity in heaven. I believe in all that. And I'm going to get on with things and figure out how to practice virtue and be good and get myself to heaven. That's a much better way to live.
All right, you're redeeming scientists for me a little bit. There's nothing forcing me to get a taco. I just eat tacos because I want to eat tacos.
That's right.
And I definitely want to eat tacos. Robert in Cincinnati, Ohio, you are next. Robert is listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Thanks for waiting, Robert. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Okay, thank you. I have been thinking about the end of Christianity at the end of the book of Revelation. It helps us know how to live in the present, even. And at the end of the book of Revelation, all people are immortal. They have resurrected bodies, as Jesus does. And in Jesus' resurrected body, he could eat. So I was wondering, would people be raising plants and animals in order to eat them in the final state of things? And does that mean that the plants and animals will still die and reproduce even though people can't?
I hope so. I don't know what the answer is. I just hope so. Go ahead.
We'll have to find out. But now, I wrote an article for Catholic Answers in their online magazine a while ago. It was called What's Christ's Resurrected Body Made Of? And because as a chemist, I want to know, what do our atoms and molecules do in our glorified body? If we are lucky enough to have a glorified body one day, what do the atoms and molecules do? And St. Thomas Aquinas he deals with everything in the Summa and his other writings, but he did deal with that. And he said that since our bodies are bodies and bodies naturally are made of atoms, that our resurrected bodies would probably be made of atoms as well. But in the resurrected sense, our will be completely conformed to God's will. And so our body, our atoms, our glorified body will conform itself to our will, which is conformed to God's will. And so I don't know what that means exactly about how things reproduce and get on with life. I don't know what it means about what we look like. Do we just think what we want to look like and that's what we look like? I don't know. But Aquinas did take that up, and he did say that, he didn't say atoms because they didn't talk about atoms back then, but he said if our natural bodies are made of elements, then a real glorified body would also be made of elements. It's just that they're not obeying the corrupted laws of nature here. They're obeying the law of God.
I hope that helped, Robert. I am looking forward to my body being subject to my will, which it just isn't right now. It just refuses. It's criminally disobedient.
Wouldn't that be great, though?
Yeah, it's going to be very helpful. I'm going to go down a couple of sizes. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, scientist and theologian, is our guest. You're welcome to call. We're talking about faith and science this hour, 888-318-7884. Dr. Trusenkos, one of the finest speakers we have had at a Catholic Answers Conference, put up slides about photosynthesis that I still have nightmares about. But did you enjoy the conference when you came, Dr. Stacy?
It was the best time. It was a great conference. I totally loved it, and I'm having fun telling people here about it in Texas, because a couple of us are coming up.
You're gonna come Bishop. See us with Bishop Strickland. This September's conference. I'm saying all this to try to get you to, help us advertise, because we really want people to come to the conference. So
it is the time of your life as a Catholic, because you will be there with, not only is it, see, it's the time of your life. No, but it's well organized. It's in a beautiful place, in a beautiful part of the country. And y'all put on a conference like a machine. I mean, everything is organized. Everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. I know there's a tremendous amount of work that goes on getting ready for a conference. You spend over a year planning, I know. But so people can just come there. And I mean, I think I said it before. Yeah, I did. It's like being in heaven for a little while, because you're surrounded. I mean, you're with the communion of the faithful. And you're learning about your faith, and it's exciting. And everywhere you turn, there are people who are on fire about their faith. And you just go back thinking, it's good to know. It's good to know that exists. It's a great time.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I really appreciate you saying that. And now I feel like we don't even need Chris Check. President Chris Check is here to invite people to come to the conference. But can you beat that?
Well, you know, Si, I always say to people, it's a glimpse of life on the other side of the veil.
Yeah, yeah.
Stacy was a little more direct, but I think that's because she's a chemist.
Yeah, well, she thinks in that.
Stacy, God bless your boss, Bishop Strickland. He's such a fine man, such a courageous prelate. And I shot him a note over the weekend, and I said, Your Excellency, you know, please mention on your tweet on your Twitter feed about the Catholic Answers Conference. And he did it immediately. Within 30 minutes, he sent one out. But he's so humble, too. He didn't even mention he's the keynote speaker. So I said, okay, you're actually, this is how you have to write it. You have to say, join me. I'm the keynote speaker at Catholic Answers Conference. So, yeah. but we're thrilled to have him, and we're glad that you're going to be coming with him. A central topic to our faith, Jesus Christ. And I know His Excellency is going to be talking about the Eucharist, but Paul Gondreau is going to be there, my brother, Sister Marie Stella. Si, when I see all that we put together for this conference and what we charge for it, and it's a bargain, I don't know. I mean, I just got an invitation for a gala, a very worthy organization here in town, that's a one-night event. That's equal to what the cost of our conference is, which is a three-day event.
Yeah, and you get dinner.
And it includes a dinner with Bishop Strickland. I mean, if there's a better deal out there in Catholic conferences, I don't know what it is. And I don't think there's a better deal on such a fine hotel right now. I don't know if folks have looked at hotel rates since inflation arrived. But this is an amazing $160 a night in a beautiful hotel, completely refitted. So join us, folks, because we have an early bird. And it's going to expire.
On July 16th, which is coming right up, the early bird expires. It's $30 off an already really inexpensive ticket. It really is. You should check it out at CatholicAnswersConference.com. CatholicAnswersConference.com. The conference is September 23rd through 26th, about the most beautiful time of the year in about the most beautiful place in the world. 23rd through 26th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla, right here in beautiful sunny San Diego. All those people Chris mentioned, plus square dancing, plus we're going to do the live radio show a couple times. CatholicAnswersConference.com.
And the best MC in the history of MCs, Si Kelly.
I was going to say, I thought you'd replace me when you started that sentence, but okay. Check it out, will you? We really would love you to come. And there's still quite a few spaces open because we didn't know until, you know, because it's the state of California. We didn't know until late whether we'd be able to do it, but we can. And there's still about, I don't know, 500
come and celebrate with
spots.
Us, folks.
CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
I'm Roy Brown, Executive Director for Billings Catholic Radio. Catholic radio is arguably the greatest tool for evangelization. Radio has the power to speak directly to individuals and creates a sense of one-on-one fellowship. There is no better way to evangelize than through a relationship where we can share and bring the love and joy of Christ to another's daily life.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about faith and science with just about the most qualified person, scientist and theologian. That's what you want, a scientist and a theologian. We're going to talk about those things, Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. Up next, we go to Cincinnati. Dave in Cincinnati, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. You are up next, Dave. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stacy Trisenkos.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. Dr. Stacy, thanks so much for the work you're doing. It's really cool. I'm a physician, and I just want to affirm that what you described as far as science leading you to God has certainly been true in my life. It is studying the human body has been awe-inspiring, to say the least. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. But then I have a question for you. I realize that the Catholic Church doesn't have a specific position on evolution or intelligent design, etc. But when you're posed with that question yourself, how do you respond to, you know, how did all these things come into being, so to speak? Is there a way that you phrase that? Because it certainly does come up. And as part of your answer, I don't know if you've had any, are you familiar with Dr. Ken Miller, the professor of biology at Brown University, and his work. Mm-hmm. So he was actually one of my professors in school. I'm wondering what you think of his work.
Stacey?
I like his work. Yeah, I've talked to him several times. It's been a few years, but I'm a fan of his. I like his work. I like what he's done. I think he's been misunderstood and misquoted a lot in the past, unfortunately. But, you know, it's, to me, it's just an opportunity for awe and wonder. And I know I keep saying that, but it's amazing to me. I'm serious. If you, and I'm as a physician, you know this better than I do. I'm thinking of it as a chemist. When I literally think about what has to happen every second for our bodies just to function and be alive, for our hearts to keep beating. I read somewhere your heart beats like 100,000 times a day. And it's almost scary when you think of all the things electrically and in the cells that have to happen to cause your heart to do that and keep pumping blood through your body. But then when you think about the whole span of life on this planet, how the first living things came to be, how the atoms and molecules came together and became more ordered and functioned together and gave rise to the first living thing, and then how that living thing reproduced and became everything you see today. It's amazing. I just think it's better just to look at it. I mean, one thing I teach in the book, so in my book, Particles of Faith, the longest chapter is on evolution because that is the biggest question. But you really can just step back away from it all the same way that we bless our meals and say, thank you, God, for thank you for your bounty when you're about to eat. We should look at the whole world and just say, thank you, God, for that. And when we learn about science, it's even more awe and wonder. And so I always just approach evolution like that. Like, it's really weird to think about how if you go back generations enough, you might get to something that's not human. But that certainly seems to be what genetics and the fossil record and taxonomy and anatomy and physiology, it certainly seems to be the story that fits together, that there's just this stream of evolving life diversifying and in response to the natural environments and genetic mutations and whatever else contributed to it that we don't know about. It's an awesome story. There's the last part of the question about Adam and Eve. And I think if you come at it with that awe and wonder perspective, was there an Adam and Eve? I'm not ready to say there wasn't. I don't see any reason why we can't say that, yeah, God created Adam and Eve somewhere along the way, and they were the first humans, and it could have absolutely been a miraculous creation that didn't fit with the rest of the evolutionary order. And God absolutely could have done that. And I'm not ready to say that didn't happen because you can't prove it did not happen. And that's kind of how I explained it to my kids, because they always ask, you know, what you taught me in first grade religion class, is that the same as what you're teaching me in junior high biology? I'm like, yes, it is. They don't cancel each other out.
Dave, does that address what you wanted to address?
Yeah, probably as well as we can get to it. I imagine that really we're just not going to know all the details until we get to heaven, God willing. So
right, Yep, you're going to die not knowing everything. I heard that from a scientist and theologian. I don't like it, but that's what's going to happen. I'm going to die not knowing everything. The part about intelligent design, if I may, I mean, intelligent design is so controversial. There's a certain way that intelligent design is obvious, that I mean, God is intelligent and he designed the whole thing. Like that's entirely uncontroversial unless you just don't believe in God. But right. are there types of intelligent design theories that are more extensive than that and are problematic?
I say they are. And you know, I've had discussions with Michael Behe at length before. There's interviews where we're together. Fundamentally, we ended up agreeing. What I don't agree with is any kind of approach to nature where we treat it like God was just walking around one day and he tripped over this thing called nature and he decided to tinker with it and order some things. And we discover those really ordered things and say, oh, look, that must be evidence of God. I don't like that view. I don't think that's what intelligent design theorists mean to convey, but it's what they do convey, because I've heard many people be confused about that. Like, this here in nature is evidence of design. This is evidence of design. I don't think you should look at any one thing. I think you should look at everything. I mean, for crying out loud, look at the periodic table, the whole periodic table with no missing spots in the number of protons for all the naturally created elements that we know of that make up everything chemically. That is all evidence. I mean, it's all evidence of intelligent design. So I said in the book, intelligent design is an all or none proposition. You got to believe it's all intelligently designed or not, none of it. And once you say it's all intelligently designed, then you really don't need intelligent design theory. You just need people who say science is the study of the handiwork of God.
Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it. I want to get to Michael in Cleveland listening on The Rock. Michael, go ahead with your question for Dr. Stacy. And you're going to have to be kind of quick because we're right up at the end here.
Oh, okay. I'll try to be really quick. So thank you for taking the call. And so basically, I'm kind of referring to that teacher who called earlier. And I just think that it's the culture war right now that's going on. It's like with these TV shows like The Big Bang Theory. And then there's that little show they're geared towards kids. It's about the young Big Bang Theory guy who's really smart, but of course he doesn't. He's an atheist, I believe, and he you know, so he doesn't believe in that. And as a little kid, they kind of get that across in their show. So yeah. I think it's important, even in a seventh grade science class, even though you're not teaching that topic, and you're at a Catholic school, bring it up and state something like, you know, like in Father Spitzer's Universe when he says. I've heard him say stuff like, you know, well, let's say the Earth was out of orbit by, you know, a very small amount. I don't know whether it's inches or so, and nothing would work. Everything would be messed up. So I think it's important for a teacher like that to point something like that out, even if the general topic of the class, when you're getting across the point of what you're doing with all these other things. That's my only comment.
Well, you left Stacy with a minute. But thank you, Michael. Thanks very much. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, fine-tuning is everywhere. There are some amazing fine-tuning facts. I mean, when I teach chemistry, the electron is 1,876 times smaller than the proton. But if the electron were 2.5 times bigger than that, it would be so big that it would collapse into the nucleus, and there would literally be an empty universe. There would be no atoms that ever would have formed. So, I mean, it's very precisely fine-tuned, the sizes of things, the energy of things, the charge on things. You can pick anything and talk about how finely tuned it is. Photosynthesis, amazing, blows your mind.
Yeah, the fact that plants keep giving us stuff to breathe and eat, and we didn't do anything to deserve it. That's pretty impressive. thanks very much, Michael. I appreciate that. Dr. Stacy Trisankos has been our guest. You can get her book, Particles of Faith, pretty much anywhere. I'm sure that we have it on our website, shop.catholic.com, but there's a student edition as well. So if you have a student who you'd like to be well-versed in both faith and science and who also appreciates the reasons for being well-versed in both faith and science, let me recommend Particles of Faith, the student edition. Also, Dr. Stacy's coming to our conference, so you should come too and come say hello to her. Dr. Stacy Trisankos, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Cy. Say hi to Father Ted for me.
I will. I know you're friends, and we should really do this more often. I feel like the COVID threw everybody's schedules off, and I'm very happy to see you again.
It's good to see you, too. God bless.
Coming up, Dr. Tad Poholchik. He is Dr. Tad Poholchik, but I got to call him Father Tad Poholchik, and he's from the National Catholic Bioethics Center. We're going to talk about bioethics. Bring your bioethics questions right after this.